Welcome to Greenways, a podcast sharing stories and equipping real-world Jesus followers to see the kingdom of God break into the vocational space where they lead.
And welcome to Greenways podcast. My name is Gareth.
I'm Johnny.
And we're delighted to have you with us today. We're really aware that for this season finale episode that our existing listeners have tuned in really excited to hear who's speaking, but also there might be some new folk who have joined with us here in East Belfast for this podcast on Greenways. Johnny, for those people, tell us a little bit what Greenways podcast is all about.
Yeah, sure. So Gareth and I started running together probably about 2.5 years ago, partly because men are awkward if they sit in a coffee shop and stare at each other, and partly to avoid the rapid onset of morbid obesity. And as we ran, we found that it was spiritually forming us, that it was good for friendship. And we always talked about the same two things. We talked about developing a deep devotional life in following Jesus, and we also talked about what it would look like if Jesus followers carried the presence of God into their vocational spaces in the city, and what transformation and renewal in the city would look like as the kingdom started to come among us. So we talked about those things, and then we thought, in the middle of lockdown, as boredom set in and obesity, and we saved a few quid on fuel, and we thought, you know what, why don't we buy really expensive microphones and invite some people who are really cool that we admire and that actually know what they're talking about to answer some of the questions that we just go round and round and round on as we run.
So we've released about 10 episodes mm-hmm. of conversations. Half of them are what we call leading in episodes, that we invite people on who just are really seasoned in certain spiritual practices, and they talk about their spiritual rhythms and their relationship with Jesus in ways that teach us and inspire us. The other half are leading out episodes, where we invite people on who are working in different vocational spaces away from gathered church, and they share about their awareness of the Holy Spirit and what it looks like for God to work through the work that they do and the conversations they have in their vocational space. So it's really cool.
Hasn't all been intense or serious? There's been moments of frivolity.
There's
along
been
the way.
Moments that are completely ridiculous. One of them has happened this past week, where we have both had rushes of blood to the head, and what started as a 10K run once a week that nearly mm-hmm. killed us has mm-hmm. turned into we have both entered a marathon.
Yes. I don't know why I've done it.
It's your first one.
I partly blame you for allowing me to do it. I have, yeah.
I actively encouraged.
I've bought a ticket for the Belfast City Marathon on the 3rd of October. Partly a sense that maybe I might get it out of my system if I do it once. I fear that that might not be the case. Partly I just want to test myself, you know. I don't know what it is. Maybe just a bit like red-blooded or something, but after a while I get bored with what I'm doing and I feel a constant need to push myself. Maybe I've got a pathological need to prove something.
In true training for Johnny, he has bought every book available on running, and talked to every expert he knows about running.
Well,
and all he has to do now is start actually training.
I've recruited Coach Ryan Galway, a friend who has gone from couch to the Olympics in about a year and a half.
There you go. And a fellow Greenways listener as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Greenways fan.
Better be. And I haven't entered the Belfast Marathon because it's on a Sunday, and as a pastor, that's a work day for me, and Johnny's a heathen. I have entered the Causeway.
Eric Little here.
I've entered the Causeway Coast Marathon, which takes in some of the most beautiful scenery in Northern Ireland, running along the trails between Port Ballantrae and Ballantoy, and that's in the middle of September. So really mm-hmm. excited about that.
Yes. We might raise a few quid along the way. I'm going to run for Fields of Life. My wife, Naomi, she works for Fields of Life, and Uganda are suffering at the moment with a third wave of COVID-19. So I'm going to try and do something to help. I've got down on the sheet in front of me here, takeaways. You been to any takeaways? I'm going to have to give them up.
No, you don't, because when you're running 40 odd miles a week in training, you have to have calorie intake and increase your calorie intake.
Sure.
So there's potential you might get to eat more takeaways.
It's the right kind of calorie intake though, isn't it?
Johnny, what's your favourite takeaway in East Belfast? Hands down. Go.
Oh, no,
on the spot.
I wasn't prepared for that.
On the spot. Go.
I really wasn't ready. I really liked You Mead, Little Indian takeaway beside us. It's been shut for a little while. I'm really hoping they're going to reopen.
Excellent. You should go lay hands on the shutters.
What about yourself?
Camille, the Thai place in Ballyhack, is just hands down phenomenally consistently good.
But it depends what you want, because Camille's very clean, you know. But sometimes you just need filth.
No. When I bring the plastic bag home and the grease is leaking through the plastic bag, which I know is your favourite place. It's a little bit off-putting. I want something that's kind of clean, tidy, nice, and doesn't make me feel like I'm dying from the inside out.
Fair enough.
Johnny, what is happening today? Who is on today?
Well, today we're really lucky because Nicky Gumbel, who is president of Alpha, vicar at HTB, and pioneer originally of Alpha, sort of back in the kind of 80s. Nicky has agreed to join us. Nicky is extremely kind with his time. People think that Nicky's my boss in some sense. He's not really. He's not practically involved with a lot of the running of Alpha UK or anything like that. But obviously, Nicky is such an important influencer and figurehead for everything that we do, and sets the culture of everything we do. So,
to put the context to this, you know, in terms of where Nicky is and where we are with Greenways Podcast, this is the equivalent of Cristiano Ronaldo coming down to the BB Kickabout on a Saturday morning. So we are blown away that Nicky, just in his kindness, has said yes.
He's
so
really
we're really excited to have Nicky on just after this jingle.
Yes, don't use the word nipple this week. Used it a lot last time. So we're joined today by Nicky Gumbel, who is the pioneer of Alpha. Many of our listeners will be familiar with Alpha and Vicar at Holy Trinity Brompton, where I've booked a ticket for the 7 p.m. on Sunday night because we're coming over for some work on
Excellent.
Monday.
Excellent. Great.
So, we're looking forward to that. Nicky, I haven't been over with you since January of last year, so it's been a long time. We start every week with our guests by asking them a few questions, Nicky, and the rules are very simple. You can only say yes or no. So you have to give us a one-word answer.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll let Gareth start with a yes or no question.
Okay. So, Nicky, one of the questions we ask all our guests is, do you wear socks in bed?
No.
Do you drink coffee after 7 p.m.?
No.
Have you ever been swimming in Hyde Park?
Yes.
Are England going to win the Euros?
No.
Yeah, as a Northern Irishman, I'm happy with that answer. That's okay. Nicky, have you ever ran a marathon or a half marathon? Yes, excellent.
Yeah. I want to ask more questions about that. Does the Gumbel House watch Netflix?
Yes.
Have you ever been surfing?
Yes.
If Craig Rochelle asked me to go to the gym, what should I say?
Yes.
Fabulous. And then final question, not a yes, no question, but I'm hoping to get over to Leadership Conference again really soon. What would your takeaway of choice be in South Kensington?
Chinese or Japanese or pizza or ice cream or okay. There's just so much there.
Nicky, you're a man after our own heart. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nicky, into something a little bit more serious. Just in a few minutes, because I imagine you could talk for a long time about this, but just in a few minutes, tell us a little bit about how you came to faith, the who, the what, the where.
My father was a Jewish, secular Jew, Jewish by race, agnostic by religion. And my mother was a non non-practicing Church of England, didn't go to church. So I wasn't brought up going to church. Mm-hmm. But in my first year at university, thanks to Nikki and Silla Lee, who told me they'd become Christians, and which worried me a great deal, I decided to do some research. And one of the things I started with was reading the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And as I read about Jesus, it was as if the person I was reading about kind of emerged from the pages, and I encountered him and found that what he said was true. I came that you might have life, and life in all its fullness.
Wonderful.
Fabulous.
Nikki, you described the moment that we're living in currently as the greatest evangelistic opportunity of your lifetime, and we've seen some amazing things happening in Northern Ireland through Alpha Online. I wanted to ask you what persuaded you that we're living right now in the greatest evangelistic opportunity of your lifetime?
Well, I'll just mention two things. First of all, this book by Rodney Stark, The Rise of Christianity, how the obscure marginal Jesus movement became the dominant religious force in the Western world in a few centuries. In other words, how did Christianity explode in the Roman Empire? And chapter four is epidemics, pandemics. It was during the pandemics that the church grew, because whereas the pagans in the Roman Empire ran away, the church ran towards the needs. And I think that's why it's such an opportunity for the church to be the church, to provide food for the hungry, to get medicines to the people who need it. And I know everybody did that. I think the church responded in a remarkable way. We're still doing over 1 million meals a month. Churches coming together, love your neighbor, love Christmas, mm-hmm. and so on. So that's one thing. The second thing is a bit more recent, going back to 1429, was the last time that an opportunity like this arose, when Gutenberg invented the printing press. Mm. That was a turnaround moment for the church, because within 100 years, Martin Luther was printing thousands of copies of the Bible, and people were able to get their own copy of the Bible in their own language, and that changed the course of human history. And I think the digital revolution is the next big change in how we can communicate. And that's what we've seen with Alpha Online, that we have the opportunity now to reach the whole planet with the good news of Jesus, because we're no longer limited by geography. Access is possible to every human being on the face of the planet through technology. So it took 100 years from 1429 to Martin Luther. And I think it's maybe taken a few years to get from the start of the digital world to 2021. But right now in 2021, because of the pandemic, you know, the pandemic is a horrible thing. It's a terrible, we've seen, because I have an Indian daughter-in-law and a half Indian son-in-law, five of my children, our grandchildren are biracial, but we've seen particularly in India just how horrific this disease is, but all over the world, terrible consequences in Brazil and so on. But God can take something horrible and use it for good. And the supreme example of that is the cross. God took the most horrific event in the history of this planet, the crucifixion of the Son of God, and he used it for the salvation of the world. So God can take something as terrible as COVID and use it for good. Just as he used the pandemics in the Roman Empire. I think he is doing that. And he's enabling us through things like the digital world to reach more people. So that's a very long answer, but it's why I think this is the greatest evangelistic moment in our lifetimes.
No, I think that's a great answer. I'm really struck, Nikki, by the thought that there mightn't be another moment like this for 600 years. And the opportunity within that and the urgency that creates in our hearts, our minds as leaders. What was the name of that book again, just so our listeners?
The Rise of Christianity by Rodney Stark.
Fantastic. Guys, get your hands on that, please.
It's Rodney Stark's a professor of sociology. You know, it's not like written, it's not written by the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's just the fact that the Roman Empire, that the pandemics were one of the reasons that the Roman Empire was converted. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been saying we've been saying in our church, this is not a moment for the church to retreat. This is a moment for the kingdom of God to advance.
Absolutely. No, amen to that. Listeners, Johnny and I both have really admired how Nicky has led. He's been a real inspiration to us. The Bible in a Year app, the Alpha course, going online with Alpha and being so courageous and leading into that space. We have seen here in Orangefield a number of people come to faith and join our church in the past 12, 18 months simply using Alpha Online. It's been amazing. But Nicky, all of that, not just in this past year, but your leadership, there's been lots of risk involved in that. You've stepped out, you've pioneered, you've trusted the Spirit to step forward into things. Nicky, you came to HTB in, I think I'm right in saying 1986?
Actually 10 years earlier, 76. Actually, my parents lived in the parish. They didn't go to the church.
Yeah.
Because they weren't churchgoers, but I was actually brought up in the parish. In fact, the first school I went to was right in the grounds of HTB. There was a kindergarten. When I was age 4 and a half, I went to school in the grounds. But I first started attending the church in 1976 when I left university, and Sandy Miller had come as a curate there, and I was a lay member of the church from 1976. Until 1986, when I would join the church as a curate to Sandy, as an assistant pastor to Sandy.
That's amazing. I love the symmetry, even just from 4 and a half years old. God was just drawing you in, drawing you in, drawing you in.
Is the kindergarten still there? No?
No. Church house. Are you being to HTB?
Yeah.
Where church house is built.
Okay.
That was built in 1960.
Okay.
In 1959... I was at school there. There were tennis courts there and a makeshift structure with the kindergarten.
Wow.
Oh, that's incredible.
I didn't know that.
That's incredible. Nicky, so from when you started as a curate there in 1986, which moments in your leadership over the past 30 odd years stand out as times of risk where you've really had to trust the Spirit, step out, do something new?
I think is, you know, that John Wimber, who had a huge influence here, the American vineyard pastor, former rock musician, said faith is spelt R-I-S-K.
Yeah.
And every, we're taking a risk. Faith is a risk. People say to me, I swim in the Serpentine, as you asked me. I swam in the Serpentine this morning. But I've got a friend who I saw there this morning called Ted, who is 85 years of age. And we were chatting about, he said, oh, my niece is a member of the Salvation Army. So he said, I can't believe. He said, he said, it's not that I don't want to, I just can't believe. So I said to him, you know, faith and doubt are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have faith without doubt. Some things are certain. 2 + 2 = 4. It requires no faith to believe that, because we've created a system in which that is a truism, that 2 + 2 = 4. But anything that's important in life is open to doubt. So love is open to doubt. You can't prove. You say, prove to me that your wife loves you. I can't prove to you that Pippa loves me. I believe it, but I can't prove it. It's open to doubt. And belief is open to doubt. Faith is open to doubt. So everything important in life is open to doubt. So everything we do is, every step we take is always a step of faith in the kingdom, and therefore it's always open to doubt. So, but you know, there have been huge blessings at the same time. I guess Alpha has been a huge blessing, the way it spread. The theological college that we started together with the Bishop of London, St. Mellitus, which has grown to, like, I think it's got 350 ordinands now. And
that's incredible.
Church planting. This year we're planting 21 new sites across the network. And that's gone from addition to multiplication. And then I guess just the church itself, we're growing in the number of sites. Now we're on 6 sites. And now we're starting an online site. So again, it's I never thought we would do online church. I've been proved wrong about so many things. I was proved wrong about Alpha online. I didn't think that would work online, and I've been proved wrong. We've just finished our 93rd Alpha small group in a row, and the fourth Wow. one online in a row. And do you know, no one has dropped out. It was like
That's incredible.
At 7:32. Every member, there were, I think there were 14 screens by 7:32. Every single person who was there the first night was there the last night. We had the most amazing evening. Next Wednesday, we're going to meet in person for the first time. They're coming round.
Okay.
If it's a nice evening, we'll meet out. Well, we will have to meet outside still. But and there's just such an excitement at everybody meeting each other. But that's been a huge thing. And then, you know, doing live streaming our services. I would never have done that. But we're finding we're getting people who couldn't have come to church and people who wouldn't have come to church. It's the same with Alpha. It's so much easier to go onto a screen than to turn up in a home or in a church building. And that's why we're getting far more people coming to Alpha, doing it online, and getting far more, even more fruitfulness doing it online than in person.
It's incredible. Nicky, do you enjoy taking risks?
Yes. Yes, I do. Do you know, funny enough, in physical risks, I'm very risk averse. You know, I wouldn't go near the edge of a cliff, if you know what I mean. I'm very risk averse. But in terms of ministry, I really enjoy it.
Cool. No, very cool. Tell me, who in the past or at the minute inspires you in their leadership? You feel they lead with courage, and it inspires you.
Well, Bishop Sandy Miller, who was my former vicar here. I worked for Sandy for 19 years, and I tried so hard to persuade him not to leave. I really did not want to take over from him. And I managed to persuade him for nearly 5 years not to leave. But then he said to me, he's leaving anyway. I was so upset that he left. And I'm always saying to him, he should come back, but he's now over 80. It's been 16 years, and he is the greatest leader I've come across in the church or in the secular world as well. I've always aspired to get as close as I can to leading in the way that he led. And I don't think I've come anywhere near, but he's a hugely inspiring example. And here he is at the age of 81, still ministering away in his loving, gracious, humble, godly way, inspiring us all with his faith. And, you know, I meet regularly with him and others to pray and to talk. And he's just such an encouragement and such a great leader.
Oh, wow. No, before the pandemic hit, Johnny with Alpha Northern Ireland was planning an event. We were going to host it here in Orangefield Presbyterian, and Sandy was coming over to speak, and then the pandemic hit. So who knows what the future holds?
Yeah, I know. It was... I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
get him if you can, because he is just wonderful. And whenever Sandy's around, the Holy Spirit seems to like being around him, because when he invites the Holy Spirit to come, always wonderful things happen.
Fabulous.
Yeah. I always wondered that about Mike Pilavachi, Nicky. You know, he's the kind of guy who, it's almost like he could stand up and say anything, but if he invites the Holy Spirit to come, something spectacular is going to happen. Yeah. I wanted to ask you as well, you talk a bit about setting priorities for the life of the church. And when it comes to setting priorities, you encourage church leaders to aim for evangelism. And you would say of all the different priorities that you could have, you want to aim for evangelism. And I think a lot of people would say that's a risk, you know, because what happens then to discipleship or renewal or prayer, you know? I wanted to ask you, why do you think it's the right thing, you know, when we're setting priorities to aim for evangelism? And does that feel like a risk sometimes?
Well, I think, you know, the first priority, if you're married, is your marriage. Mm. If you have children, after that is your family, your children. And now for us, our grandchildren, they're our first primary calling in ministry. But in terms of the ministry of the church, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the commission to go and evangelize. Mm. And that should be our priority. If we make other things our priority, they won't ultimately. So if you make, for example, if you make, say, unity your priority, you will never get unity. All you'll do is, because you'll spend all your time talking about what you disagree about. And that will lead to more disunity.
Sure.
But if you make evangelism your priority, you have to be united, because Jesus prayed that we may be one in order that the world would believe. So if you want unity, make evangelism your priority and you'll get unity in its wake. If you make renewal your priority, you will go on being renewed and renewed and renewed until you die. Of being renewed. But if you make evangelism your priority, you've got to be renewed. Mm. Because Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You can't evangelize without the Holy Spirit. So you've got to be filled with the Spirit in order to evangelize. Mm. So if you make evangelism, you will be renewed. If you make discipleship your priority, you will fill your attic with notebooks on every book in the Bible, and you'll fill your head, but you won't actually grow in discipleship. Mm-hmm. If you make evangelism your priority, you will have to grow in discipleship, because just for example, if you're hosting an alpha group, you're going to have to learn to pray for people. Yeah. You're going to have to learn. You're going to be asked all kinds of questions to which you don't know the answer. And you're going to have to go and research those questions. And then you're going to learn about them, and you'll grow in your knowledge and your. And John Wimber, people used to say to John Wimber, the teaching's a bit light. It's a bit sort of milk. And what about some meat? We need some more meat. John Wimber always used to say, the meat is on the street. If you want to grow in discipleship, if you want meat, get out on the street and feed the hungry, pray for the sick, evangelize, and you will grow in your discipleship. So all those things, unity, renewal, discipleship, it's not that they're not important. They're extremely important. Mm. But the way to grow in them is not by making them your number one priority, but prioritizing evangelism, and you will grow in unity, renewal, and discipleship.
Okay.
Love that.
So there's a bit of C.S. Lewis in that when he said, aim for heaven and you get earth thrown in. If you aim,
that's it. That's
aim
it.
For evangelism exactly. And get
it's
the rest.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same kind of principle. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. There's something I'm dying to ask you about. So about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, it's been a long time. Gareth asked me here in Orangefield to preach on the relationship between prayer and awakening. So I called Jeremy Jennings, I asked Jeremy to talk to me about the relationship between prayer and awakening.
Let's assume that our listeners are like me and don't know who Jeremy Jennings is.
Sorry. Yes, indeed. So am I right in saying, Nicky, Jeremy is director of prayer? Is that right?
He was the one who really, back in 1990, said to Sandy and to myself, he said, you know, we are going to be in trouble if we don't take prayer seriously. And he started a 7 o'clock every Tuesday morning prayer meeting, which has continued to run for over 30 years. And he's still involved in that. It's been different times and different places and different seasons, but he's still every Tuesday morning involved in that. And Jeremy is a remarkable, he's just written a little book on the Lord's Prayer, beautiful little book on it, which is well worth reading. Prayer I've been re-looking at the book of Nehemiah, and you know, Nehemiah looked out at the equivalent, I guess, of us looking out at our nation, seeing the walls were broken down, the gates were burned with fire, and he did two things. First, he prayed. That's where it started. And he prayed, repented of the sins, cried out to God, and prayed for success. But then he rebuilt. He got to work, and he did stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think to do one without the other is a mistake. To just think it's all down to prayer, and not to do what Nehemiah did, which was to organize the rebuilding of the wall, is a mistake. Equally, to organize the rebuilding of the wall but not pray is equally a mistake. We've got to do both. We've got to pray, and we've got to get involved and do stuff.
Yep. So Jeremy sent me this message a few years ago, and I'd asked him about May of 94, and he mentioned a lot of people know about sort of around May 94 in HTB. And he said, Johnny, there was such a thirst for the Spirit and the response was so generous. These were not normal times. People were massively blessed and they bear fruit from that time even now. Sometimes renewal is a very noisy wave. Sometimes it's very gentle. It's always untidy, but graves are tidy and playgrounds are not. I've learned that it's better to do church and to do Alpha with the Holy Spirit in our midst. And it turns out that the ancient Christian prayer, come Holy Spirit, is as powerful today as ever. And from Jeremy sent me that message, I have been dying to ask you about just your memories of that season. And he talked about a church weekend away as well in the February, and just praying for renewal. I'd love to sort of hear about your memory of that time and what the Spirit was doing among you.
I think since John Wimber's visit in 1982, we have always prayed in every service and in every Alpha weekend, come Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we still do. You know, we've just prayed it on this last course online. And every time we pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit comes. Sometimes it's very obvious, and sometimes it's less obvious, but as powerful. Mm-hmm. And so in 1994, around May 1994, there was a very obvious physical manifestations every time we prayed, come Holy Spirit. People would fall over, people would scream with laughter, and joy, they would be sort of running up and down the church. There would be, they'd be doing some very odd movements at times. There were queues. People were queuing for 3 hours. We only had two services on Sunday at that time. People would queue for 3 hours. Now we have 11 services and we can get everyone in. But in those days, we only had two main services, and we would have people queuing for 3 hours to get into church. Queuing all the way down round the church down to the Brompton Road, they'd come for a 6:30 service, and you wouldn't get rid of them till 11 o'clock at night. They would be, you know, lying in the car park sometimes, roaring with laughter. It was like, it was an amazing, there were amazingly powerful manifestations of the Spirit. And every Alpha weekend when we prayed, "Come Holy Spirit," the same thing happened. It was extraordinarily powerful. Do I pine to go back for those days? Not really, because although it was extremely powerful, some people found it quite terrifying, really. And now I think it's as powerful. When you say, you ask about faith, you have to believe. When you can't see it, you have to believe it's going on. And so, you know, last night we were hearing back from, going around the group, hearing back what had happened to them. And, you know, people refer to what happened to them on, we don't do a weekend online, but we do a Saturday, what happened to them on that Saturday. And it was very powerful. The Holy Spirit came in a profound way and changed people's lives. But you have to see it by faith rather than by sight. So at that time, it was so obvious you couldn't miss it. But I think it's as powerful, and more people are able to handle it than back in the day when I think some people were really excited by it, and there were some extraordinary things. As Jeremy said, there were ministries that started, the ministry in the prison started at that time. Amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit started in a prison and spread from prison to prison. And those involved, Emmy Wilson, was in Paul Cowley, you know, who was still running that and still going into the prison. So that's 27 years ago. That ministry continues. And lots of ministries started at that time. And there was a great growth in Alpha around that time and continues. But I think it's growing as fast now, probably faster in some ways than at that time. It was a very early stage. In terms of percentage growth, it may be higher then, but in terms of numbers of courses, of course, there's so many more courses now starting all over the world.
So we're back with Nikki Gumbel on Greenmouse Podcast. Nikki, people come into your church, people come into our church, people come into churches all over the world on a Sunday with an expectation to encounter God and to hear his voice and to meet with him. Is it possible, and how can they step into work on a Monday with the same level of expectation of encounter?
In the workplace. Well, I think being in the secular workplace is really hard because it's a tough world out there. But that's the front line. You know, I'm on the back line because I'm now in ministry. And our task, Paul describes the task of the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, is to equip the saints, that's every Christian, for the work of ministry. And the ministry takes place on the front line, and the front line is the workplace. And that's a tough place to be. I mean, I was a barrister, I was a lawyer, I practiced law, and it's a tough environment in which to live out your faith. But it's the front line. You are in the most important place in terms of the kingdom, and that is the secular workplace. And we have to live out our faith and seek to demonstrate the gospel, the following of Jesus, the kingdom, in the workplace. So it's a really, really important task. And just as we need the Holy Spirit on Sunday, we need the Holy Spirit from Monday to Saturday as well, and especially when we're in the workplace.
Nikki, do you have any advice, though, for a member of your church who says, "I'm going into work tomorrow in the bank where I work, the office where I work, the shop where I work"? How do they walk in with an awareness of God's presence with them? It's easy to carry that into church, though, but practically speaking, what would you say to somebody?
I mean, for me, it was always really important to start the day by hearing from the Lord. And so to me, I always do that by reading the Bible, because I think it's more important that God speaks to us than that we speak to God. And the main way in which God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. So I like to start first thing in the morning, still do. I have done all the way through my Christian life. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Find a verse that, like this morning, God, this is the verse that struck, guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. And then verse Psalm 86, bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. So I pray, Lord, give me joy today. I'm trusting in you. And so you go into work saying, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm your servant. Or whatever it is you read that morning that speaks to you and to your heart. And then, you know, and commit the day to the Lord. Lord, I've got difficult decisions today. Please put a guard over my lips, a watch over my tongue. Help me to say the right thing in this meeting. Help me, lead me, guide me. Give me wisdom. And God promises, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. Lord, I need wisdom for all these decisions I've got to make at work today. Please give me wisdom. And then I think try and find someone who shares your faith. Mm. Because I think if you've got a friend at work who's a Christian, who you can meet with in some way and encourage each other, that makes a massive difference. Even if it's just one other person who can support and encourage you. And then realize it's going to be tough. It's not easy. And that's why we should... That's why we come together on Sunday, because it is tough out there. But then you walk into the church and you're there to encourage one another and help one another and get refilled as you go. Like Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. It's the day when you get refilled and then you give out for the rest of the week. And then you come back and you're refilled.
Love that.
See, over a long period of time, Nikki, you've seen kind of friends bringing friends on Alpha, and I suppose I'm aware that the vast majority of people who invite someone on Alpha are not in traditional Christian ministry. They're often in a secular workplace, or they're reaching out to friends, family. I wanted to ask you, how have you managed over years to keep encouraging people to take little steps of faith, little steps of risk, an invitation? You know, I think in the 5 years I've been with Alpha, probably the most common question I hear from church leaders is how on earth do I encourage people to invite? And often people assume that a banner outside or something on social media will do the invitation for them, you know, and they don't want to take that little step of risk by sending a very personal text message that says, hey, you know, Alpha's starting and I'd love you to join me. But I mean, I was trying to figure out over the years how many people in HTB have invited a friend on Alpha. It must be thousands. How do you encourage people to keep doing that over a long period of time?
Well, I think that the best evangelists are the guests on Alpha. Mm. On last night when we went round our group, everyone had been talking to their friends. I mean, one person's, one young guy, I imagine he's about 24 years of age, average age on Alpha at HTB is 27. He's like 24, never been to church in his life, never been physically to church in his life. He came because he was watching YouTube and he came across our Easter service and he watched it. He read Why Easter online. And then he came on Alpha, but he's still never been to church. He doesn't have a single friend who's a Christian, but he's talking to them about his experience. We've got a practicing Jew in our group. And I heard not from him, but from the person who invited him, that he has already got four of his friends doing Alpha in different parts of the country. He's just saying to all of his friends, you've got to do Alpha. Last night, it was one of the most moving things when he's just talked about how beautiful he found the experience. Reading 1 Corinthians 13 over and over again, he's just so struck by that passage. But he is telling everyone that they need to do Alpha. He wouldn't describe himself as a Christian. He's Jewish. He's a practicing Jew. But he is inviting his friends to Alpha. Mm-hmm. All of them, I think pretty much everyone, was like, we're telling everyone about this. And so I think when you read the New Testament, it's when people first encountered Jesus, Andrew straight away went and told his brother Peter, come and see. Yeah. And I think that's the moment. So we don't sort of say to our congregation, you really must invite your friends, but we just run Alpha. Mm-hmm. But we run it often. I think the mistake some churches make is like, oh, we'll run it once a year, and then we'll encourage everyone to bring their friends next year. No, run it every term. Yeah. And then each term there will be people, not everyone, but there will be people in your group who invite their friends on the next one. And if it's not on the next one, it'll be a one in 5 years' time. Mm-hmm. But, this is our 93rd Alpha small group in a row. I can't wait for the next one. I mean, this is amazing. I've loved every moment of this group.
Will you do something special if you hit 100?
I don't know whether I'll live that long, but I will. If the Lord spares me, I'll hit 100. But it'll hopefully in September it'll be our 94th Alpha small group in a row. But we do it 3 times a year. Because there's never a time when you can't say to your friend, there's an Alpha course starting really soon. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the big mistakes people make is they don't keep running it. Yeah. You've got to keep running this. It's not like a one-off thing. Oh, we ran Alpha in our church in 1998. What does that do? No, run it when... And also you forget. I forget. Even between weeks, I forget what Alpha's like. Mm-hmm. But in the 4 week break between courses, like over the summer, because we'll take a break in August, and then we won't come back to doing it until September, I will have totally forgotten what Alpha's like. So the only way I remember every Wednesday night, I think, oh wow, last night I remembered, wow, this is absolutely amazing. This is just completely mind-blowing. One guy who was healed, his neck was healed on the healing evening. His face has completely changed. He said, when I came on this course, I had no idea what life was about, but I've become a Christian. I'm now, it's like, just the transformation in his life is so extraordinary. But you need to be doing it every week to see that. Yeah. Because you forget. People say, well, why are you now still in a small group? Because you're sort of doing other things as well. I wouldn't miss a small group for the world. I couldn't do the other stuff if I wasn't seeing it every week. Mm. How can you talk about Alpha if you're not doing it?
Yeah. It would be strange in any other kind of part of life to invite somebody on something really amazing and tell them that it was happening in a year's time. I feel like it would be hard to come back to it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And there's something, I think this past 18 months, whether folk have been doing Alpha or not, they've been really present in their communities and connected with their neighbours. The church has been looking at really creative ways to love people. We have had conversations with people in our church, you know, in different vocations who have had permission almost to pray with people and talk with people, even in the medical field where that's kind of, you don't go there. There's been an openness to these conversations. And for our listeners out there, as we move through July into August and September, there's going to be Alpha courses starting, not just in Orangefield, but all over Northern Ireland. Invite some of these people who have never dreamt of coming to church, who you have had the chance to have deeper conversations with and to love in practical ways. Invite them to come to an Alpha course. Maybe that's the risk that the Spirit is encouraging you to take today as well. And there's so much opportunity for this. There's so much opportunity for this. Nikki, I love that. Thank you. Can we ask you one more question? You've been really kind with your time today. As we start to emerge from the pandemic, what do you sense? What do you feel? You can answer this whatever way you want, whether for the church or for the individual. What risks, what steps do we need to be thinking about taking in this next season?
Well, I think something new is happening. I don't think the world will ever go back to being quite the same. And one of the really interesting things in our Alpha Small group last night, we have one of our helpers in the group, is Isaac Bukwe, otherwise known as Governor B. He's come to help. He's a rapper. Each evening he's done an icebreaker. And they've been absolutely amazing, the icebreakers. And that's a new feature of Alpha, which we'd love to share with other churches, because when you meet in person, you don't have time to do an icebreaker every night, because the meal is, in a sense, the icebreaker. But the icebreaker replaces the meal as a way to get it to know each other. That's why everyone was there last night by 7:32, because no one wanted to miss the icebreaker. And the icebreaker last night was, what do you want to be remembered for?
Wow.
And as we went round, it was so interesting. Not one person said anything to do with their job or their finances or their fame, or everything was to do with relationships. I would love to be remembered for to being a loving person. I'd love to be remembered for being a good husband. I'd love to be remembered for being a good parent. I'd love to be remembered for being a good grandparent. You know, I'd love to be remembered for being a person who's always available for other people. I'd love to be remembered as someone who was kind. Every person, it was to do with relationships, apart from the leader who said that he wanted to be remembered as an adventurer. But apart from that, the host, rather, I should say, Mark, who was hosting. But every guest, it was about relationship. I think coming out of the pandemic, maybe people's priorities will change. I don't think people are going to be saying, I really want to make a lot of money now. I really want to be successful, or I really want to be famous. I think maybe it's focused people's minds on what really matters in life. And what really matters in life is relationships. Of course, supremely, it's your relationship with God for which you were created. But then after that, it's your relationship. If you're married, with your husband, your wife, if you have children, it's with your children, your grandchildren. If you're not married, it's relationships with your friends are the most important thing in your life. And it's all about relationships. When Jesus was asked about priorities, he said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say, go and make money, go and be successful in your work hard. He said, love. And that's what life is about. And I think post-pandemic, hopefully, people will return to what life is really about, which is love.
I hope so. My goodness. Nikki, it has been such a treat having you on today. Thank you for joining us. Would you be willing to pray for our listeners before we wrap this up?
Sure. Lord, I want to pray for every person listening. And what I want to pray for every person, the word that's come straight into my mind is peace. I want to pray for peace. So much anxiety, so much fear, so many mental health issues going on right now. And I pray right now that, Lord, send your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And I'd encourage you to receive right now from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your hearts and minds with the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Nicky, it was really, really kind of you to join us and give us your time.
No, I loved it. Love being with you guys. Thank you for all you're doing in Northern Ireland. Really appreciate it. Such an important part of the world. And it is. And well done for what you're doing.
Oh, thank
you. Thank you so much.
Nicky, have a great summer. Take care.
And you, and you guys. Thanks so much. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye. So there you go. That was a brief interview with Nicky Gumbel.
Mind blown. Just Christian celebrity. Fantastic.
Real privilege to have a little bit of his time. He really is so incredibly kind with his time. Gareth, I loved what Nicky had to say about making evangelism a strategic priority for the church. You know, I don't mean to be negative about it, but I really do think for many, many churches and people, it sort of exists as a theory, and it doesn't, you know, the sober truth is that it doesn't really happen in practice. And for others, it's outsourced to a very small team who happen to be good at it and enjoy it, while the rest of us sort of get on with everything else. And I just love that, you know, a bit like C.S. Lewis, he was kind of saying, if you do aim for evangelism and get everybody involved, it's remarkable how much renewal, how much kind of discipling, how many other things come along with that as a result.
Totally. No, I loved that. It was great. For me, though, the standout thing was that last thing he was saying just on the call, where he talked about coming out of the pandemic. His feeling and his hope and his prayer is that for his church, and I would say this for our church as well here in Orangefield, there's a realignment of priorities away from career and success and money. Those things are all really important, but family, people become the most important thing. You know, if you're married, your wife, your husband, if you have kids, your grandkids, if you're single, then just some of the key friends that are like family to you become the most important thing.
Yeah.
As you live out your faith.
Really cool. Yeah, we're going to head into a little bit of a summer break. I'm sorry if that disappoints anyone. I mean, if anyone has listened to every episode, I'll be astounded, and they probably deserve an award.
Johnny's going to buy you a Greenways t-shirt.
Yeah, we did kind of start. We did kind of start this thing, and I hope my mum and my wife has a listen. You know, Dave tells us that there have been around 2,000 listens. Now, that's not including this episode, which I guess with Nicky talking to us might reach a few more people. I pumped that into my calculator, and that's like, you know, 1 in every 1,000 people have heard something from Greenways. Which
1 in every 1,000 people in
Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So, sorry.
I thought you meant the world. I got the maths wrong, mate.
That would need more. Yeah.
1 in every 1,000.
Well, now I think about it, actually, that would require unique customers, wouldn't it? Unique lessons.
It's still fairly impressive, though, isn't it? I mean, this is why we're not teaching Maz.
Is that viral? Is that going viral?
You can't use the V word these days.
I'm sorry.
It's not popular.
Is it spreading?
Let's pull this back from the brink before we finish. Johnny, in 10 drops, who's been your favourite guest?
In 10 drops?
And as an alpha boy, you don't have to say Nicky
Gumbel. I know that. I think, okay, well, there were moments when John talked to us about evangelism, I felt that there were moments actually when the presence of God was quite heavy in the room, and that was special. I really enjoyed catching up with Judah. Just something about sort of sitting, talking to a genuine friend about some of this stuff that's exciting.
Are you just going to say everybody's name? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tempted to. I'm tempted to. If you, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer to your question.
It's not like you didn't see the question coming, but it's okay.
Do you have an answer?
I really enjoyed Ali Hart. Okay. I enjoyed her creativity, her fun. I loved just exploring with her the kingdom dynamic to her work and seeing that come alive for her. And just the friendship that's developed and the communication we've had after she had us on her podcast. Nobody else has had us on their podcast
yet. That's true.
That was fun.
That was a special thing. I'm still keen to commission Ali to draw the two of us with our headphones on, recording the podcast, surfing.
With a Twix in one hand
and a Bible in the other.
Yeah, and if that makes no sense to you, you need to go back and listen to that podcast.
Come on, Ali. If you're listening in, get it done.
Yeah, guys, it's been such a privilege to hang with all of our guests, to hear their story and how God is working both in them and through them in their vocational spaces. We are going to check out now for the summer and... yeah, hopefully we'll see you in sunny Port Rush or wherever you're holidaying this year, Northern Ireland, Greenways fans.
We got to go do some training, don't we?
Absolutely. So if you see us on the Greenway, say hello, introduce yourselves.
You need to buy some nipple tape.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Oh, for the running?
Yeah.
I thought you just meant generally.
Oh, no.
We are going to go on that beautiful note and picture for our listeners. Guys, have a great summer, and we'll be back with season 2 in the autumn.
World domination.
There you go.